From KUOW in Seattle, welcome to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. I want to start by noting that this conversation includes some topics that may not be appropriate for our youngest listeners. Last July, former Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin made an announcement. In the face of increasing gun violence, Seattle was making an investment.
That's why I'm very heartened today to announce that the city of Seattle will be investing $2 million in the King County Regional Peacekeepers Collective. It's a pilot program that's brought together a range of community-based organizations with skills, trusted community messengers, lived experience, and the expertise to go in and mentor and help high-risk youth and their families who have experienced the tragedy of gun violence or who may soon experience that and help break that cycle.
The Regional Peacekeepers Collective includes 12 organizations working to support young people at risk for gun violence. It receives funding from the city and King County. Back when Durkin announced the investment, the city estimated that within 2 years, the pilot program would reach approximately 200 young people. But a new investigation by KUOW's Ann Dornfeld shows that staff and leadership of these organizations did not consistently undergo background checks, and a convicted sex offender with apparently fake credentials is running one of those member organizations. Ann Dornfeld joins me now, and thank you so much for being here, Ann.
Hi, Libby.
So this story focuses on an organization called Renegades for Life Youth Outreach. What does Renegades for Life do for the county?
It's not entirely clear because the county told me that they don't actually hold the contract or the subcontract for Renegades for Life. Subcontracts are in control of the two primary contractors in the Regional Peacekeepers Program. So Community Passageways is the organization that holds the subcontract with Renegades for Life, and their spokesperson declined to divulge the details of the subcontract and cited concern about Community Passageways, community partners, and any potential impacts to them. But the founder and head of Renegades for Life told me that his organization does case management for the county for young people and families that are affected by gun violence. So things like checking in on young people who've been shot and developing relationships with them and connecting them with services.
And were they an established organization before joining the Regional Peacekeepers Collective?
Renegades for Life was formed in 2016, but tax records show that the nonprofit did not receive any significant funding before the county program began in 2021. And it's gotten about $266,000 through a county subcontract for its work for the regional peacekeepers. And while the city and county were originally putting in just a couple million dollars, they now have put in close to $6 million overall for the Regional Peacekeepers Collective.
And you found that the leader of Renegades for Life has some concerning felony convictions. Who is that who's running the organization, and what were those convictions?
Salim Robinson is the head of the organization. He's open about his past life on the streets. He said that he's robbed people, he's sold drugs, he's even shot people. But the Regional Peacekeepers Collective actually looks for what's called credible messengers to work with young people. So folks with their own experience with gun violence or their own criminal history. And that's supposed to make those people more credible to young people and thus better able to counsel them and help prevent gun violence. Robinson also has convictions, though, that would prevent him from working in schools in Washington State. In both 2007 and 2010, he pleaded guilty to indecent exposure. Most recently, a felony conviction for masturbating at a SeaTac restaurant on more than one occasion. The bartender said that he would stare at her while he did it, and she called police.
And you also learned that Robinson faces some new legal trouble, right, Anne? And did not appear to hold the social work credentials that he claimed to be running this organization. Tell me about that.
Right. He's going to stand trial later this month in King County Superior Court for felony insurance fraud after he crashed his uninsured car and then bought an insurance policy hours later, filed a claim for damages later that night, close to $7,000 worth. He acknowledged doing that to me. He called it a poor decision, and he told me that he never would have done it if he'd known there was such a thing as insurance fraud. And when I went to verify his academic credentials, the University of Washington had no record of his purported bachelor's degree in psychology. And Seattle University told me that not only had he not received a master's of social work in 2007, but that the school didn't even graduate its first MSW students until 2018. Robinson, when I asked him about that, could not explain why the schools had no record of his attendance or of his degrees.
Now, government agencies usually run background checks on staff who work with young people. As you mentioned, teachers can't have a sex offense on their record to work with underage kids. Had the county run a background check on Salim Robinson?
No, they had not. The county told me that they do not typically run background checks on subcontractors or on contractors. They rely on those organizations to run background checks if they feel that it's necessary, but that the county does not actually require that, nor did the county know anything about his background for that reason.
Now, how closely does Renegades for Life work with young people? I mean, would Robinson have been working directly with kids?
It's not clear because, you know, neither the county nor its primary contractor, Community Passageways, could or would tell me the details of what he does for the county. But Robinson told me that he does one-on-one case management with young people, although he insisted they were all over age 18. He said Renegades for Youth does not actually work with minors, even though it says it's a youth program, and even though its website advertises everything from after-school programs to youth mentoring. He told me that, in fact, those are all just ideas that the organization came up with and what he called the research and development process, and that none of those programs that they advertise for kids actually exist.
But to be clear, we don't know because the contract and the details contained within that contract, that's something that you were unable to get from the organization that holds that paperwork, right? And I mean, you've asked for that. This is taxpayer money funding these organizations, and the organization said no.
Correct.
Okay, just wanted to get that clear. This detail in your story really stood out to me. Salim Robinson's organization, Renegades for Life Youth Outreach, says that they offer youth some kind of unpaid cleaning work. What is going on with that?
Yeah. So this is what Renegades calls its youth job skills training. It involves so-called pre-apprenticeships. So this is unpaid volunteer work cleaning office buildings and residential complexes for Robinson's ex-wife's cleaning company, the Clean Queen. She lists Robinson on her board of directors, and her website touts these pre-apprenticeships as building not only job skills, but also young people's character. And her website features young people in Renegades for Life t-shirts and pictures of young folks holding vacuums and spray bottles. Robinson told me that this job skills program, which he called janitorial work, is separate from his work for the county. And again, he insisted that it only involves young people 18 and over.
Unpaid pre-apprenticeships at his ex-wife's cleaning service. Okay, do we know how impactful Renegades for Life Youth Outreach has been for people experiencing or in danger of experiencing gun violence? And do these pre-apprenticeships or other programs help people?
Well, you know, I've started to get the results of my public records request from the county where they are required to receive quarterly updates about how many people these programs serve. And it's kind of hard to parse because it's not listed by organization. They just have the number of young people who we've, you know, met with on this occasion, say. They did have an anecdote from Robinson of some of the work that he had done with young people. And it was just one couple saying that they'd been in a domestic violence situation and they were very grateful for his help. Mm-hmm. That's all we have.
As we've mentioned, Renegades for Life existed prior to becoming a partner with Public Health King County. Was Robinson the founder back in 2016? Is that possibly how he didn't face a background check prior to entering this collective that's funded by the county?
Well, you know, like I mentioned, the county doesn't typically run background checks on contractors or subcontractors, but after I started inquiring about whether the regional peacekeepers organizations had background checked their own employees who work with minors, because that is their organizational policy, King County told me that some of them had and that the rest would from here on out at the county's direction. The county told me that they'd put their lead contractors, like Community Passageways, in charge of verifying the background checks of the executive directors of the organizations. So Community Passageways would have been responsible for backgrounding Robinson, because otherwise he would just have to be in charge of backgrounding himself, which is not really great practice. What's worth noting is that the county did not provide those organizations any criteria for what might disqualify an employee from working with kids. They just said, oh, do the background checks. Schools tend to have those disqualifying criteria written out quite clearly.
But this was a policy change that King County told you they made because of your inquiries, right, Anne?
They didn't use the word policy change, but yes, it was implied.
Are there any regulations around sex offenders working with nonprofits centered around kids statewide? I mean, is the state or county supposed to be monitoring employees at organizations that are designed to work with young people?
Well, anyone can start a nonprofit. And of course, if you are a registered sex offender, as Robinson was until last year, the state is keeping tabs on your whereabouts and what you're up to. But, anyone can start a nonprofit. The state, however, does have regulations about disqualifying convictions for working with kids in schools. So you can't get a teaching license, or you can lose your existing teaching license if you get most sex abuse convictions, including the ones that Robinson had for indecent exposure. Those are disqualifying.
Okay, so at the King County level, we know they have responded to your investigation in part by promising to expand background checks in this nonprofit space. Have you gotten any other response from the county?
Right. Well, the county told me they're not planning to change anything else as a result of my investigation. They're still going to let their contractors and subcontractors do their own background checks, and the county's not going to check their work. And they put the responsibility for this, Renegades for Life background check squarely on the shoulders of Community Passageways, their lead contractor that oversees the Renegades subcontract. And they referred me to Community Passageways for anything further.
What about Renegades for Life? Has Robinson or any other employees of the organization responded to your reporting?
Yes, Robinson responded to my story, challenging what in it disqualifies him for working for the Regional Peacekeepers Collective, especially given that his sex offenses did not involve children.
People who work in violence prevention in the community, as we've talked about, they often come from tough beginnings. They may be former gang members, for example, who have felony convictions on their records. And people who have those experiences can also provide really valuable perspective in violence prevention work, the work of de-escalating situations. And is it realistic or productive to expect totally clean criminal records for everybody who's in this work?
No, I think that, criminal history could absolutely help some folks relate to young people on their terms. But of course, the question is always the nature of that criminal activity and how far in the rear view it is and what the person has done with their life in the meantime. Typically what gun violence and gang prevention programs look for is youthful mistakes involving guns or gangs, not sex crimes committed in middle age. And folks I've heard from say that putting convicted sex offenders to work with some of the county's most vulnerable young people, especially Black and brown youth, shows to them the county's disregard for those young people's welfare.
What are the next steps for the county or for the Regional Peacekeepers Collective? Will Salim Robinson's organization be removed from the collective?
Well, Community Passageways, which oversees that subcontract, told me that they are conducting an internal investigation and will respond accordingly. And the county referred me to Community Passageways for, what they decide to do.
KUOW investigative reporter Anne Dornfeld, thank you very much for your reporting and for joining me.
You're welcome.
Anne's story is up on KUOW.org right now. It's called Why is a Convicted Sex Offender with False Credentials Running a King County-Funded Youth Program? Thanks for listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org or on your favorite podcast app.